Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour and Shalom Chavarim to all our listeners locally on 1220 AM radio or live on the net at whkwradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Missionaries to the lukewarm church to help them move out of the Laodicean church into the Jesus expectors of the Philadelphia church, especially in today's world of deception, compromise, and apostasy. The Word must be your priority and passion, and we want to help you demystify some of the more difficult passages by using very basic Hebraic roots used and taught by our first century forefathers, especially about the end times, because, folks, we're in them. And tonight, we continue our teaching verse by verse through the book of Joel, and tonight we begin chapter 3. Just a reminder, you can re-listen to this teaching later this week, as well as other programs, a wealth of biblical information, at shofarministries.net. Let's invite the Lord to be with us tonight before we get into our study. Abba, Father, we just praise you. May just everything that comes out of our mouth tonight be praise you and uplift you. We invite your Holy Spirit to just permeate this whole program tonight and bring to life the words that you have, that Sheila will be teaching tonight. Help us all of us to understand what you have to say, myself and our listeners. We bless you for your goodness and your grace. Tonight I especially want to lift up people that have are experiencing the loss of a loved one. And I think I'm thinking of myself here and then in Colorado with the recent events there. Lord, if these people are called by your name, Lord, we just ask that you comfort them in a special way and that you increase their faith through this whole ordeal. And we know you can do that. I also want to lift up Deborah, who will be traveling to Italy. And Lord, we just want you to give her a special spark of the Holy Spirit so she can be a great witness for you way far across the ocean in Italy. And we thank you and we bless you in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Shalom to all of you joining us live right here tonight and every Tuesday at 8 p.m. We hope you enjoyed last week's taped program on the Last Trump. I was actually in Virginia, and John, you were in Idaho on a sadder reason of your mom being very ill and now has passed. And I know everyone wishes you their condolences. It's always sad when you lose a parent. But before we get into the good book, I must say just a few words on the current news. Especially Syria's Assad, who just keeps on fighting. My, oh my, don't think he's going to win, though. I mean, none of them have yet. And Russia keeps on helping them, as well as Iran and China. So it's going to take a little longer than the other dictators. But approximately 20,000 now are thinking dead. And many buildings have been destroyed in Damascus. And, of course, we keep wondering if this is the fulfillment of Isaiah 17. And I just say it can be, but certainly not yet. It's not in ruins. The most recent development, however, and something I need to mention, is that there is some movement of chemical weapons, perhaps to Hezbollah in Lebanon. And Israel is watching very closely at this, for they will not allow it. I don't know exactly how they're going to fix that, but I know they will not allow that. It's just too close. Syria threatens to use them if any foreign intervention occurs. Assad believes he can handle the opposition as long as there's no outside interference.
Of course he's wrong, and he's going down.
I think so.
Yep.
And you know what? I hate to say it, and I know evil dictators are awful, but I'm always looking at Israel. And Egypt didn't bother Israel. Gaddafi didn't bother Israel, and really, Assad didn't bother Israel, really, you know, much at all.
Not after 67.
Yeah. So, and now we're seeing the Muslim Brotherhood take over, and they're saying death to Israel. Yeah. So, I am getting a little nervous, but not totally, because I know God's in charge and this is the way it has to be.
We know who's in control.
That's right, and mm-hmm. it has to be this way so His glory will be shown. Okay, I get it. Anyway, I do want to mention, too, that, and I hate to even talk about it, but Islam's Ramadan of fasting and more prayer to Allah, which is another word for Satan, began last Thursday and ends Saturday the 18th. It's a 30-day thing.
Fast, is it? Fasting
yeah.
and...
Fasting during the day from sunrise to sunset.
Oh, I see, just during the day.
Yeah, and then they party at night.
Okay.
Oh, I'll probably get letters for that. But anyway, here is what the Quran says should be the attitude of all Muslims by the end of the sacred feast season. And you can read this in the Quran in Surah 9:5. It says, so when the sacred month has passed away, then slay the idolaters, particularly Jews and Christians, wherever you find them, and take them captive and besiege them and lie in wait for them in every ambush unless they convert. So I think we should get them to convert.
I think so, too.
Let's pray that for every single Muslim that you know. And you know what? There's a lot more now than there ever have been.
I know. And that's plenty to pray for, and I always do. I lift up Muslims all over the world for prayer because they definitely are headed in the wrong direction. And also, I know Ramadan is where they, during this feast, that this is where they're called to get ready to fight. Get ready to fight. But, you know, they're also called to get ready to fight by the Quran.
Really, anytime.
Anytime.
I think.
You know, but it's really, it's most intensified during
it
this
is.
Time.
It right? is. And usually terrorism is at its peak during Ramadan.
Yeah.
But anyway. There's also coming up on the Jewish calendar this time between Tammuz 17 and the 9th of Av. And it's the 3 weeks of mourning. And it's because of the destruction of both holy temples, which, by the way, were both destroyed on the 9th of Av. And then there was many calamities that befell the Jewish people throughout the generations during this time. And it's a three-week time of just mourning for that.
And it's called Tisha B'Av. And what other things? I know there are many things that have happened on that particular day. Can you recall
there
some
are
of them?
Actually, but, I mean, if you think about how in the world both temples, Herod's and Solomon's, were destroyed on the same date, makes you kind of really wonder, because let's face it, it couldn't have happened unless God knew about it.
Yeah, because there was quite a few years in between those
well, let's look
events.
At some of the other dates that he has done things on.
Okay, Tisha B'Av, 9th of Av.
Okay, the 9th of Av actually was when 100,000 Jews were slaughtered. This was about 135 A.D. It was called the Bar Kokhba Revolt, and it was basically the Jews' last stand against the Romans. They're captured and liquidated. Many, a sad day. What's also interesting, though, later on in 1290 A.D., England's King Edward I, he expelled all the Jews from England on the 9th of Av.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going by the Jewish calendar. He was going by...
No. He probably didn't realize, you know. But here's what's even more remarkable, is that the Spanish Inquisition, about 200 years later, culminated with the expulsion of Jews from Spain on guess what day? The 9th of Av.
1492.
Yes.
Yes.
And I mean, that's just coincidental. I don't think so.
I don't think it's coincidental either. Oh, and this is when, I remember you teaching this, that this is when World War broke out in 1914, when Germany, I guess, declared war on Russia.
Yeah.
And that set the stage for the Holocaust.
For the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So that was not a good day.
Right.
And then in 1942, on the 9th of Av, there was a mass deportation of Jews from the Warsaw Ghetto en route to Treblinka.
Very sad. Very,
very
sad.
Very sad day again on the 9th of Av.
And let's go back really far in history. During the time of Moses, actually, Jewish tradition teaches that the Jews in the desert accepted the report of the 12 spies, which we know was a bad report, and the decree was issued forbidding them from entering the land of Israel because of that event. And that, we think, happened somewhere 1312 B.C.
Yeah, that's way back.
And the tradition says it happened on the 9th of Av.
Very sad day indeed, because then they had to roam the wilderness for 40 years.
40 years. So if God has something good for you, don't look for the bad side, because you might go, you might roam around for a while.
I got to tell you, though, just doing a little more study on that in defense of the Jewish people, I could see why they would be really scared. I mean, those giants were not just 9 feet tall. They were sometimes 15 to 30.
30 feet tall.
The, and that's a whole other story for another night. But these giants had...
I hear a program in that one. Well, we got to get back into our study here.
Yes, we do.
Okay, let's. We're beginning now in chapter 3, and I'll give you a quick review, listeners. This is what we've done so far. In approximately 800 BC, the land of Judah had just experienced a devastating divine judgment of locusts, drought, and widespread fire that devoured the open pastures. Joel uses this judgment to prophesy a future similar but very demonic event and way more catastrophic judgment during the tribulation. And that begins with a trumpet and a shout. That we discussed in much detail.
Oh, did we?
And another huge gold nugget was seeing with the help of Isaiah 26 that at the resurrection, we, the bride, enter into our bridal chamber of heaven until the indignation is past. When we come out of the Chedar, that's in chapter 2, verse 16, and come back to earth with Jesus to finish the judgment that he began 7 years before when he opened the sealed scroll in heaven, talked about in Revelation 5. Now, Sheila, you did a great job explaining this, the two major reigns in Israel, and how they are a type. They're the type of Jesus' first and second comings, and that's confirmed in the book of Hosea as well. In week 7, Joel took a breather from the most of the judgment, and we saw how Israel will be restored and the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, especially during the millennial kingdom.
Right, and we're already seeing for a taste of all that, aren't we?
Yeah, we're not in the tribulation, but we're seeing, we're getting that taste of it, of the bad things and the good things.
And
I
the
think.
Good things,
yep.
You betcha.
Well, anyhow, I just encourage you, listener, go to the radio podcast archives on shofarministries.net and catch up with the details of this great prophetic book.
I hope you will, because I'm still getting emails like, Sheila, where are you teaching? Are you teaching a study? And I have to remind them, because people kind of forget, that yes, every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock on WHKWradio.com, you can have a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Open your Bible, sit down, take some notes. And the thing about it is, if you miss the program, you can go to my webpage and listen to it anytime you want.
Right.
Then you can pause it, chew on it, replay it, do all those things. And I have to tell you, I learned almost everything I know from teaching tapes, from the best in the field.
So. That's wonderful. What are tapes?
They used to be just tapes. Now they're CDs. I gotcha. Go ahead. Tell them how old I am now.
No. We're not going to go there.
Okay. Anyway, there is a lot to glean from the prophet books, and I hope that you are all learning and being stirred up to want more of the meat that the New Testament says we need to be on. Okay, John, will you continue by reading in chapter 3 where we left off last time, and now we are going to see the final wrap-up all the way to the millennial kingdom, where he says the mountains of Israel will drip with new wine. But first, the tribulation. So please read verse 1.
For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, comma.
Yes. All right, let's look at in those days and at that time. The Hebrew word is bayumain.
Bayumain?
Bayumain. You're the Hebrew expert. Anyway, it is kind of an expression that means the very end of days, and it's when the tribulation begins through the tribulation. And sometimes, according to the context, it can mean during the millennial kingdom. But it's similar to in that day. But in that day begins with the resurrection. The tribulation doesn't actually start until that decree is signed that Daniel 9 24 through 27 talks about.
Okay.
So, but anyway, we know it's the end times, and it's referring to the return of Jesus. and the judgment of the Gentiles, we're going to see in chapter 3. And the first two verses speaks at the end of the tribulation, after the salvation of all Israel. And, you know, I just want you to look at chapter 2, verse 32 real quick with me. Because I got to remind you that even though all Israel is going to be saved during the tribulation,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But verse 32 of chapter 2 that we read last time we were together says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That whoever is a personal noun, it's saying it's still a personal choice. Even though God has prophesied that all Israel would get saved,
mm-hmm.
don't think it's just because he says they're all going to get saved that they're, you know, it's going to be all at once and they don't have a choice. It's
yes.
not like that. It is going to be a personal, what's the word I'm going to use, personal agreement to follow the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it always has been that way.
It always has.
Okay.
Just a... makes me think of the Passover Seder meal with the four questions. And
mm-hmm.
and of course, that gives you the opportunity if you're leading the Seder, if you're the dad, or you can answer the question with the answer that you have to receive this deliverance that Moses and the children of Israel as your own. You
uh-huh,
have to think
it.
Of it as your own. You don't get it from Pop here. You don't get it from your brothers. You don't get it from the synagogue. You don't get it from the church. You've got to consider it. You've got to put it in, have it put in your heart. So
that's right. That's right. So in Romans 11:26, where it says all Israel will be saved, they will, but they're still going to have to do that personally.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's always been a choice. Okay. You know, there's a lot of Jews getting saved today, though.
Yeah. Well, don't you want to know when they're going to get saved?
Yeah, when are they going to get saved? Well, let's read verse 2 then. Maybe I'll answer that. Okay, verse 2, "I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat."
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, let me ask you a question. of Romans 11:26 says, all Israel will be saved.
Of course, yeah.
When is that, John?
I believe that that's going to be during the tribulation or right at the beginning of the tribulation.
It'll be in the first half of the tribulation.
Okay.
And what's going to spark that salvation? Do you remember?
Well, I think possibly the disappearance of the church.
That might trigger it. But also the war of Gog and Magog.
Mm.
Okay. You know what? It would be a good idea. Let's turn to Ezekiel 39 before we get into that verse 2, okay?
Okay.
Ezekiel 39:22. I have it here.
Okay, you go.
Okay, this is right after the war of Gog and Magog where God steps in.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in verse 22, "So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward."
Hmm.
I think that's pretty plain, don't you?
That's very clear. Very
okay.
clear.
So that's when I think they'll get saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be in the first half of the tribulation. So then Romans 11, where it says all Israel will be saved, I believe that's the same thing.
Okay.
It's at that point. Okay? So I wanted to bring that out before we continued on. But let's look at one other scripture now in the New Testament. In
Matthew?
No, let's not go there yet.
Okay.
I just wanted to also mention that it says here, "When I bring the captives back of Judah and Jerusalem." We have seen the beginnings of the return of the captives, okay, today. We see them all coming back just like the Bible says they would.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I believe that that's just a foreshadow of what will happen after that day begins. You see, everything that's going to happen during the tribulation is already happening
mm-hmm.
on a very small scale. And if you recall, there are actually two returns.
Yes.
Okay, the first one was after the fall of Babylon. Remember the book of Ezra?
Mm-hmm.
Explains all that. And the second one is still in progress. Because, let's face it, there's still 5 million Jews in America. Okay?
Yeah.
So, although we're seeing the foreshadow, we're just getting a taste of how it's going to be after the tribulation begins.
Yeah.
But, before that really is fulfilled, totally, there's going to be another little separation. during the tribulation. Because if you remember in Matthew, it says the Jews in Jerusalem should flee down into the wilderness south from the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's probably going to be around Jordan or somewhere, or Mount Sinai, I'm thinking.
Could be.
You know, we talked about that
one
time.
Yeah, we did.
And up in the north, they'll probably just run anywhere to get away from the Antichrist to all four corners of the earth. And the reason I say that is because in Matthew 24, well, let's just look at it in verse 31.
Let's check it out.
We're going to see that it is from all corners of the earth.
Matthew 24, 31,
And
he will send his angels with a great, with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Right, and that's just an expression that'll be for all over. Mm-hmm. And they will then finally, all the captives will be in Jerusalem.
So that's the final gathering.
That'll be the final gathering. So again, we're seeing the foreshadows. Mm-hmm. There's going to be another separation in Israel. They're going to, a lot of them are going to die.
Yeah.
Zechariah said two-thirds are going to die. There'll only be a third left.
Yeah.
But then they will run. 144,000 will be going to the other parts of the world as well to finish teaching the gospel.
And God has always saved the remnant. And he's always worked through a remnant. And though a lot of us, you know, Gentiles, during this time, a lot of the nations are going to be a lot of death and dying, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a bad time.
It is. It is going to. Now we can get into verse 2, John,
okay.
Because we finished verse 1.
Let's read that again.
Okay,
gathering the nations, verse 2. I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land.
All right, let's talk about the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Did you remember that there's a godly king of Judah named Jehoshaphat?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, he actually, with God, of course, destroyed many of the Ite enemies, like the Amorites and some of the other Ites.
The Ites?
Yeah, they're the... Whenever you see an Ite, it's a definite enemy. But the name Jehoshaphat, Jeho is God, and Shaphat is judge. So it means God is judge.
Wow.
So he's going to sit in the Valley of Jehoshaphat and judge the enemies of Israel.
Hmm.
Okay.
Cool.
Now, I pulled out an ancient map of Jerusalem. And there's actually, I was surprised to see that. I wasn't even looking for that at the time. It just happened to
pop out at you.
Yeah. I was looking at some maps and there it was. But this shows the Valley of Jehoshaphat actually sort of, if you know where the Kidron Valley is, and you would almost have to know that, it's on the eastern side of Jerusalem.
It should be the right side if you were looking at a map, I think.
Yes, mm-hmm. It would be.
Be on the right side.
Where the eastern gate is on the temple and things like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kidron Valley is there. And up at the top of the Kidron Valley in the north, there's a space that says the Valley of Jehoshaphat.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's where it is. I'm not positive. I don't think anyone knows for sure. And it's the only time I've ever seen it on a map.
Really?
So.
Well, it's called the Kidron Valley then, what you see on maps today, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
But what's interesting is that there is a scripture in Zechariah 14:3-4 that we'll read in a second. But it actually talks about when the Lord returns, he's going to split the Mount of Olives, which, by the way, is right here in this area as well, in two,
okay.
Which would create a crevice between a north and south hill, which would put the Valley of Jehoshaphat in the north. But let's just look at that real quick. Zechariah 14:3-4.
3-4. Yeah, the Mount of Olives is directly right to the right there, too. So
that's right. And I think it sort of encompasses the whole of Jerusalem. I mean, up on the north and stuff. So if it were to split in two, like right here,
mm-hmm.
then the Valley of Jehoshaphat would be in the north.
Interesting. Well, let's see. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3. And 4. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle, And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south.
There you go.
Cool.
So, and what's interesting, too, that is it says in verse 3, which kind of goes along with what we're reading right now in Joel, that the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. So when he comes back, he's going to finish it off.
So Zechariah is actually confirming
what Joel is saying.
What Joel is saying.
Where he says here in verse 2, I'll also gather all the nations, enter them into the valley of Jehoshaphat. I will enter into judgment with them there.
Okay. And you know, prophecy is prophecy. Whether, mm-hmm. no matter who the author is, it's still the same God and it's still the same message. I think that's cool.
I know, I do too. And also, it says they have divided up my land. Now, we know that that's been a big problem. And we know, too, that because of that, judgment is going to come to all the nations that have pushed Israel in dividing up its land, and I'm afraid America is one of them.
And Israel was scattered by the nations, but that verse says, too. They were actually pushed out of countries, and we read about that in about Spain, 1492.
Yeah, Spanish Inquisition and England. And all that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all prophecy had been fulfilled, actually.
Yeah.
Let's look at, real quick, Ezekiel 36:5.
Well, I had that marked out at one time. Then my little marker fell out.
That's right, I have it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Good, okay.
Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom. Edom is just a word for the descendants of Esau and the Palestinians today,
mm-hmm.
who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country.
They gave it to themselves.
Yeah, they took it. Well, the international community helped that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That does really describe Palestinians, doesn't it?
Yeah, and this makes God not too happy, and we see it's here in Joel as well.
Mm-hmm.
They have also divided up my land. So that's why judgment is coming, the biggest reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else did I want to tell you? No. The main thing is that we don't have to be real exact about, you know, where this Valley of Jehoshaphat is.
Yeah, the main thing, God's going to be there, and he's
right.
going to be doing some judging.
That's right. And you know what? I'm also thinking, you know, in Matthew 25, 31, and 34, that talks about the sheep and goat judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I think this is it. This is that judgment that is in Joel. It's probably the sheep and goat judgment. I would read it, but I'm just not sure that we have the time to do it before. We do have to take a break here. But when we come back, we're going to see in verses now 3 through 8 some more of what the past enemies of Israel did to them through the years. And actually, Josephus and Maccabees confirms awful atrocities, especially by Antiochus Epiphanes and the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And after 70 A.D. and continuing on through history. So when we come back, we're going to read the next 5 verses where we see God gives reasons for his judgment.
Good. That's great. And before we take a little break here, let me just remind you that your donations are tax deductible and they're very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. You can use PayPal on our website or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. All donations automatically get you on Sheila's informative newsletter, and you will enjoy it. I always enjoy mine. Include your email address as well if you have one. Be sure to check out the webpage. Now, all our newsletters and previous radio shows are there for you to peruse. The lines are now open. The numbers for your end time question, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a great song.
The Good Book is now a great game. Hi, I'm Jeff Foxworthy, and I'm hosting the American Bible Challenge. a revolutionary new game show on TSN, where teams go at it in a battle of wits to see who will be crowned the sharpest of scriptures, the Bible brainiest. And they're ready to take the challenge for a charity of their choice. Don't miss the game show of biblical proportions.
The American Bible Challenge, hosted by Jeff Foxworthy, premieres on GSN, the game show network, on Thursday, August 23rd at 8 p.m. on Time Warner Cable, Channel 219.
This is going to be great. A game show about the best-selling book of all time. And Jeff Foxworthy. I'm definitely tuning in for this. It all starts August the 23rd at 8, 7 Central on GSN, where three teams battle it out for the charity of their choice. Really amazing what GSN is doing. Thousands have come out for a nationwide casting call, and there's even a mobile version of the game, so you can play on the go. So get together with your friends, share with your church, and let's get out and support this great new game. American Bible Challenge, Thursdays, 8, 7 Central on GSN.
Is it time? Crossroads Hospice will provide compassionate care if you or your loved one has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. We are here to support mind, body, and soul through the end of life. To accomplish this mission, Crossroads Hospice will be right beside you in your journey. Crossroads Hospice will provide caregivers to let your family and friends focus on relationships. We will help manage the pain, allowing you to focus on the quality of your life. Our goal is for you to get stronger in your faith and stronger in your closest relationships, no matter what you are facing or have experienced. You need to know that you are not alone. If you've been disconnected from your place of worship, we can bring church to you if you would like. Rest assured, Crossroads Hospice will be there for you and your family, providing counsel, nursing care, education, and unending support where you are. It's not about dying. It's about enjoying the life that we have. Call Crossroads Hospice today at 1-888-603-6673 and expect more from us. We do. 1-888-603-6673.
Out of Zion's fields, salvation comes.
Whoa! Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was Paul Wilbur, Days of Elijah. And we kept it going there because we wanted you to hear that little bass line there. And I wanted to hear that part. But really, we played it because what we're talking about tonight are the days of Elijah. It's not the day we're living in, but this is going to be during the tribulation because Elijah is going to be there at that time. And that's another program that we've done, right?
Mm-hmm.
want to remind you, the lines are open. The numbers for your end time question, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And another reminder, Shofar Ministries is every Tuesday. We're right here at 8 p.m. Why not join us? And you could recommend this program to a friend. I mean, my microphone just went hooey on me. Whoa. That's never happened. Oh, I got to remind you, too, coming up August 3rd, and that's going to be the first Friday of August, guess who's going to be at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland at 7 p.m.? You guessed right. It's Shofar Assembly. Sheila Crawford and myself will be at 11815 Chillicothe Road, and that's Route 306. So if you need directions, you can call Sheila right at home. She'll be happy to give them to you.
Call my office, please.
Call the office. Did you want to add something like to that song, like why we're not in the days of Elijah now?
No, we're not, because Elijah's not here yet.
Because Elijah's not here yet.
And then there's another witness that's coming along with him. Do you know who that is?
I think it's going to be Moses.
Oh, I think you're right. Why isn't it Enoch?
Now, that's a good one. Why wouldn't it be Enoch?
He wasn't even Jewish.
Oh, okay. That's true.
That's true. Besides that, he's a picture of the rapture.
But he was godish.
Oh, definitely godly.
Godish.
Definitely godly. Okay, listen, you know what? I just felt that we should read that scripture about the sheep and the goats because while we were on break, I actually found another scripture.
Oh, good.
And you're going to like this, John. But first, let's read Matthew 25.
Okay.
And
you have that, right?
I have that. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Boy, today there's a far right and a far left, isn't there? I think that's interesting. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I have one more scripture before we take, I think we might have a caller. Let's look at Ezekiel 34:17. Which I already happen to have.
Okay, you have that?
Mm-hmm.
I think I do too. Wow.
34:17 says, and as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between ram and goats. So there's just a confirmation in the Old Testament as well, isn't there?
That's cool.
I know.
I know.
It's funny how things happen at the last minute there. People don't realize just how live the show is. All right, I think we have a caller.
Can you read that far? Can you see?
I'm looking. It says, which country will the Antichrist arise from? That is a great, great, great question. I believe that it will be part of the same countries, same nations that were in the old Roman Empire. But that's quite a few. And, yes, he could be a Muslim. If that's the case, I'm looking at maybe Turkey, possibly. Mm-hmm. That was part of the old Roman Empire as well, and so was Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So was some of the southern parts of Africa. Mm-hmm. They were all part of that. So I know where you're going because I get this question a lot. Yes, I think he could be a Muslim. Nobody knows for sure. It's not that crisp and not that plain. But it's very possible that it could be. And we've talked about that in the past.
I think we have, but you said the ancient
Roman Empire. If you go and get a map of the ancient old Roman Empire, you'll see that it just surrounds all the Mediterranean and then some.
Well, you named quite a few countries there, but you kind of sidestepped Rome.
I did. So. I did sidestep it. I don't think he'll be from Rome. The false prophet might be.
Okay.
But not the Antichrist. I do not believe so. But again, you know, again, God doesn't tell us. And it's mainly because the bride of Christ won't be here.
That's right.
And so there's certain reasons why John, the gospel revelator, did not even discuss the tribulation in his gospel, where all the other three did, because John is a gospel, really, to the church.
Cool.
Speaks to the church. And he never talks about the tribulation, so I don't think we have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just teach it because I want people to see how much a prophecy is being fulfilled, which stirs them up to read their Bible. That is what I've been called to do. God's very specifically told me to get people to, once again, read the Word because they're falling away from the Word of God.
Yes, and becoming the lazy Laodicean church.
Well, sure.
And they're falling asleep. They don't know the times that they're in and how critical it is to be witnessing at this time. And I mean,
you talk about prophecy being fulfilled. The Laodicean church is it.
Yeah, and people are looking for answers. Of course, they don't want the answers from the Bible, but you live your life and glorifying God, and they'll come to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know.
All right, so I wanted to talk about the sheep and the goats. Let's continue now. I think we are going to start verse 3.
Okay, verse 3. Wow, we progressed.
Yeah.
In chapter 3, verse 3. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine so they could drink.
Right. Now, again, these are things that the reasons that God is judging the Gentiles. Through the years, this is kind of things that have been done to the Jews. And this is what we're going to see now for the next 5 verses. And we know that there's much slavery throughout history.
Wow.
And that's really what he's talking about here. That's pretty self-explanatory. So go ahead and read verse 4.
Verse 4. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Philistia? Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me, swiftly and speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your own head.
Yeah, pretty much, again, talking about enemies of Israel. Tyre and Sidon is cities in Lebanon,
mm-hmm.
okay, as well as the coast of Philistia, which is the Palestinian area of Gaza Strip right now. Okay, and that's the coastline
mm-hmm.
on the Mediterranean, as was Tyre and Sidon.
Wow.
And he says, go ahead, but I'll get you. It's really what he's saying.
Wow.
Your day will come.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we keep saying, oh, Lord, why are you taking so long? Their day will come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to give them as much time. And, again, we're talking personal here, too. Don't forget. As he's giving our loved ones as much time as possible.
That's right.
You know, but it'll come a time when it's over.
That's right. Because it's an appointed time with the Lord. And if you haven't learned anything from listening to our shows,
mm-hmm.
we know that our God is a God that keeps his appointments.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
He does. As we were just talking about that mm-hmm. today, his appointments are amazing. Keeps doing things on the same dates.
This is sad. These are the things that were done to the Jews back in verse 3. They gambled for his people. They enslaved them,
mm-hmm.
used them as a commodity to buy wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this has happened throughout history.
And quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Okay. This is really sad.
It's very sad. And the things that Josephus says, if you ever want to read the War of the Jews or the Antiquities, you'll see a lot of very, very sad things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when they were eating each other because of famine and stuff. So it's definitely been bad. But I wanted to mention, too, that here in verse 4, we're seeing that God is saying, if you come against Israel, you have come against me. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Me being God.
Mm-hmm.
Especially before Christ, it was just Israel and the rest of the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one eye on Israel, the other eye on the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So, interesting, huh?
Well, let's give another reason in verse 5. Because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my prized possessions.
Yes, and they have had that happen, and still today, much is still in Rome.
Yes, from the, invasion of Titus?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And Rome still has it, and they haven't given it back?
Correct.
Wow.
I think every once in a while they do send a piece.
I hope they do.
I've heard that anyway.
Hmm. Wow.
But also God refers to Israel as his gold and silver. So it's not just the possessions, but he refers to Israel as his gold and silver that had to be refined and tested.
Hmm.
I think we should look up a scripture, Zechariah 13:8-9. And if you get it before me, John, you can read it.
Well, I think I have it over here. Zechariah is one of the last books there. 13:8-9?
Yes.
Got it. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested.
Ah.
And they will call on my name, and I will answer them.
Right.
I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God.
Now, do you see that personal application again?
Yeah, I see that.
And each one.
Each one.
That's right. And again, this is during the tribulation, and a third will come through, and they will give their hearts to the Lord.
That is so cool. Well, that's why I like your teaching.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think I would have gotten that on my own.
Okay.
Okay, where did we leave off?
Verse 6.
Also, the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem you have sold to the Greeks, that you may remove them far from their borders.
Okay, now the actual word in the Hebrew is Javantes,
mm-hmm.
and that actually is where the Greeks come from, Javan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alexander the Great did indeed use Jewish slaves. He traded them with Phoenicia. Huge slave trade, like around 10,000 a day were being traded at one point.
Hmm.
And again, that's just from Josephus. But we won't read this now, but if you want to read Ezekiel 27, the whole chapter, it really highlights all the trade, from Javan, in verse 13 especially.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just read that. Ezekiel 27:13. We are running out of time though, so we've got to go quickly.
Okay, we're going to let you go. To Ezekiel. While you're getting that, I got to say that every time you see Javan in the Bible, they're talking about Greek
mm-hmm.
or Greece. Mm-hmm.
I do. It says, verse 13, Javan, Tubal, and Meshach were your traders. They bartered human lives and vessels of bronze for your merchandise.
Wow.
And again, the whole chapter talks about that kind of stuff.
Wow. Good. Glad you thought of that. Verse 7. Behold, I will raise them out of the place to which you have sold them, and will return your retaliation upon your own head.
Again, Alexander the Great died early on, as you know,
mm-hmm.
and the Greek Empire did eventually fall to the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And look at Greece today.
Yes.
It's a bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. Verse 8, I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken.
So some commentaries say this was after they conquered Antiochus Epiphanes. Remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
They actually acquired Syrian slaves, but they did sell them to the Sabaeans to help them get back together and fix the temple up and all that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
And the area of the Sabaeans actually today is the area south of Israel, way down in Saudi Arabia, in the area of Yemen.
Okay, so okay. A Bedouin area, you might say?
Well, at one time.
At one time?
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay, so anyway, wow, we just made it. It's so good. We finished verse 8. So, again, Joel from verse 2b through verse 8 was like a sideline showing reasons for the judgment that he began to explain in verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are back to the end of the tribulation, starting in verse 9. And I think this is time, from my aspect, from what I understand, probably for the war of the Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, of course, Jesus returned to finish it all up. But we're going to take that up next week. We're going to finish Joel next week.
Yeah.
It's been a nice ride, hasn't it?
It has been, and I'll be sad to see it go. to be honest with you.
Well, we'll be doing another one, I'm sure. And if you happen to have a request for a certain prophet book, Nobody Big, or long, I should say. I know, I'm thinking about doing Obadiah only because it's so nice and short, and there's actually a lot of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Could try that, or we'll just see. We're actually going to be getting into August, and we have a lot to talk about with the fall feasts. Although I don't want to teach it in detail because I've taught it so many times and it's all archived on my web pages.
That's right.
So we'll see how that goes. I'll just let the Lord lead.
Yes, and you listeners, you can feast on the feasts on our website, shofarministries.net. All our shows are archived there. If you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you're concerned you might be one of those that just have the head knowledge and not really the heart conviction, this is very simple. God's made it simple. Just get on your knees, repent. That means turn from the sins you are doing and turn and face Jesus. Bring up any sins that are bothering you in your life. Let Jesus have them, and he will give you in return eternal life. And keep on trusting him and keep on studying his word. And it's a choice. You can make that choice right now.
It's a personal choice
for everyone.
It's a personal
choice, and we're praying that you do make that choice. Remember, God doesn't send anyone to hell. That we kind of decide that for ourselves.
That's right. It's our choice.
That's right. Okay. If you have a question for Sheila or would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office, 440-834-9006. And a reminder, we'll be back here, same time, same channel, Tuesday. Your donations are extremely important and vital. So please, if you can, pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. You can use PayPal on the webpage or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. All donations will put you on the monthly newsletter, and you can check out shofarministries.net where all the newsletters and previous programs are archived and teaching DVDs and CDs as well. We're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. See you next Tuesday.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.